It has been a long week. We jammed out to Athens bands. Athfest is this weekend. We had some fun at the movies. And as we do every Friday, it is time to kick back, unwind, and think about what the heck happened this week. It is time for the break room.
You put the beer in the coconut and drink it all up. You put the beer in the coconut and throw the can away.
No way. That's great.
Ted Nugent has to tell me what Obama has done that he's so mad about, so I have something to be happy about.
The demon code prevents me from declining a rock-off challenge.
Joining us in the break room this week, Stefan Turkheimer, lawyer and editor for Georgia Poll, Natalie Pavelski, vice president of Cater Communications, Hector Fernandez, professor of world languages and cultures at Georgia State University, and from Savannah, Jessica Salaji, writer and blogger. Welcome, everybody.
Morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yet again, you have made it to Friday.
Woohoo!
Yay.
A little sad news. Men still feel the need to pick on women.
See, you're eating trash cake and smoking? You know what you look like? You look
like a bird.
Yeah, of course you look like a bird. You always look like a bird. Yeah. But I was going to say, you look like a...
Like a bird lady.
D, slow down.
Yeah.
All right.
Let the man do
Let me do my thing. You're jumping on my thing here. Yeah.
But look, not even powerful women are safe from sexism. An Uber board member came under fire for making a joke about women talking too much. Senator Kamala Harris couldn't get through any of the Senate committee hearings without getting interrupted. So what is it going to take? How do we finally get rid of sexism in the workplace?
I don't think we ever will, Celeste. I mean, men are always going to roll their eyes at women, and women are always going to roll their eyes at men. But the thing is, there's a kind of a continuum of sexism, okay? Like, if it's used to kind of fuel a sitcom, that's one thing. If it's used to downgrade and diminish the contributions of women, that matters. And when you look around and you don't see enough women in Congress, on corporate boards, leading institutions, that's a problem. That makes America weaker.
Jessica?
I agree that we're never going to get rid of it, but I think we also ignore how tough women are on other women. I mean, women are each other's biggest enemies most of the time. We are so critical of each other. We are competitive. I mean,
I think you're hanging out with the wrong women,
the
Jessica.
The biggest enemies?
Not by height. She just means like in terms of social stuff. I'm with you. I totally understand where you're coming from. I actually do think, I was thinking about this morning on the drive in, and, you know, obviously men, that's my gender, play a role. And I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that we're so limited in what we're allowed to be that everything is an affront. Everything is an affront to our power. So it's like, as I've said before, masculinity is a prison, and we cannot allow any sort of we feel like it's a zero-sum game based on some sort of gender war, and that's
giving something to women takes something away from men.
Yeah,
I'll defend Jessica a little bit.
Good for you, man.
Well, I mean, this is not ever going to change. I mean, we men are too obtuse. I mean, to be sincere, the real thing is, and this is partly to what Jessica says. There's tons of women who have internalized a male viewpoint of gender, and they don't do themselves or any other women a favor. But I'm not saying that's the only reason. I mean, I've seen other things, but that explains a portion of what Jessica just mentioned.
I think women have had to do that over the
years.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. We've been intentionally inculcating our worldview to allow us to remain the dominant gender. So, I mean, like, that was... by intent, right? I mean, like, that's the easiest way for the male paradigm to
exist. 5 points for using the word inculcate.
Oh, let's put it on the board.
Exactly. Let's move on to another squabble, this time in the world of rock and roll.
We challenge you to a rock-off. Give us one chance to rock your socks off.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
That is not Gene Simmons, but Gene Simmons wanted to trademark the rock on symbol. That's the devil's horns. He claims he used that first in 1974. But the problem is, rock scholars say Ronnie James Dio actually invented that in connection to rock. And on top of that, it is the American Sign Language symbol for I love you, going back even further. So yesterday, Gene Simmons actually dropped that pursuit. Oh. But if you were the judge in this case, what would you have told him?
It's an advertising ploy. I would have told them to study a little bit of Mediterranean culture. It's been a hand gesture that has been used by Mediterranean cultures for, I mean, decades, if not centuries, before they started it. So, I mean, for that matter, as a marketing ploy, great. Beyond that, cultural sensitivity and to not appropriate anybody else's culture.
Yeah, and I'll take that from the 70s forward and say, that's not punk, man. You can't be trademarking stuff like that. That ain't cool. In my language, obviously, Rock On and I Love You are the same. But look, don't try and prevent me from using it. I don't want every time I use that symbol to have to pay Gene Simmons 15 cents.
Wait, are you implying that Kiss is punk?
Kiss is sort of punk.
Huh? It's glam.
Whatever. Look, here's the thing. It's countercultural. It's
confusing.
Men wearing makeup.
He's
Jessica,
confusing.
Let's. Can it's you dangerous. Save Stefan here?
They're basically the same. Come on, Jess, help me out.
I don't know if I can help you out on this one, but you know, I would just ask him why now. Like, this has been 43 years. Why now?
Because everybody has forgotten about him.
Yeah, right. That's true. Exactly. But I think Jessica's right. It's rock on, Mr. Simmons. Rock on right out of my courtroom.
Oh, boo.
All right. Then let's talk about a couple other guys, Bill Maher and Ted Nugent. They do have a bit of a history.
Now, I refer to the famous proclamation Mr. Nugent made last month when he said that if Obama is reelected, it would be such an unthinkable catastrophe that he, Ted, would either be dead or in jail. Or as I call it, a win-win.
Okay, as improbable as it now sounds, Bill Maher and Ted Nugent are joining forces to fight hateful rhetoric and violence in politics. So, look, my question here is, are they really the best ambassadors for this? Can we even believe them at this point in this particular role?
At first, I was like, this is ridiculous. But the more you think about it, the fact that they have been so nasty and the forefront, I think that they could send a good message if they actually do it.
Man, people don't need to be taking advice from Ted Nugent. It doesn't matter what that advice is. I mean, I think it's awfully convenient that people whose careers in some ways have now suffered from blowback are like amazingly taking up the charge that is that they have previously been the primary
villain. Oh, you're suspecting him of venalism.
Yes, yes. I don't know what that word means, but I agree.
I mean, I can see a road to redemption here, but these two have too much baggage, way too much baggage, to actually tell anybody what to do.
Okay.
They've had the microphone for too long.
I suspect Bill Maher because he just got in a lot of trouble for saying something that he should not have said, a racial epithet.
Yeah.
And so...
So the question is this a Nixon to China moment or is it just kind of a ploy? But the thing is, you've got like a has-been rocker and a cable host who... only about 36% of the country even gets HBO.
Wait, Ted Nugent was actually a guest in the White House.
Oh, God. Yeah, but like I said, a has-been rocker.
It's still a little bit like Simmons, you know? Hardly anybody's paying attention to them anymore. Yeah. So they're coming up with a new idea to see if... they're still relevant.
Sometimes you have to work with the ambassadors you have and not the ambassadors you want, I guess. I mean, it's an important discussion. The question is, where does it start?
Well, then we have like a minute here, but who might be better at it? Like, nobody's going to listen to the Dalai Lama saying be nicer because we expect that from him, right? Jessica, that's kind of your point?
Sure. I mean, I just think that they could change. They're not going to change anybody's mind, but they could set a better example on their way out the door as we all forget about them.
Yeah, they could stop doing it. Yeah, if those two just stopped being jerks, there's too fewer people being jerks. They just don't have to involve everybody else in
there's
it.
Still a lot of jerks left.
Yeah, well, I mean, we got to go one by one, though, right?
Okay, fair enough. Hector or Natalie, any ideas on who might be better?
Well, the best thing would be is if you had Nancy Pelosi and Mitch McConnell and a bunch of people like that sit down and saying, look, we're going to turn the page here. We are going to speak with respect. We have serious disagreements, but this has gone too far. We got to grow up here and solve the country's problems instead of spitballing at each other.
Well, and there's also a problem, which is that people feel that they have to take responsibility only for the people on their own side. Like, people are like, oh, well, Bill Maher in his rhetoric is somehow responsible for the congressional baseball shooting, and Ted Nugent is responsible for the other side, when in reality it might be the reverse.
But it almost doesn't matter.
It is Friday. We're hanging out in the break room. We're going to take a short break. Ahead, the weird stuff that geniuses do. And speaking of geniuses, Stephen Hawking has an idea about how to possibly save mankind. It's next from On Second Thought.
Like diamonds in your eyes. The ground can be space. With feet marching towards a peaceful sky.
Happy Friday. This is On Second Thought. I'm Celeste Headlee. We are having coffee and some conversation in the break room. My guests today are Jessica Szilagyi down in Savannah, a writer and blogger there. Stephen Turkheimer is lawyer and editor for Georgia Poll, Natalie Pavelski of Cato Communications, and Hector Fernandez of Georgia State University. And we want to say a big thank you to Savannah Coffee Roasters. They donate the coffee that we drink and could not live without. They're online at savannahcoffee.com. All right, let's be honest. People do a lot of weird stuff.
Mr. Pitt eats his Snickers bars with a knife and fork.
Really?
Yes.
Why does he do that?
He probably doesn't want to get chocolate on his fingers. That's the way these society types eat their candy bars.
So, listen, Nikola Tesla did extensive toe exercises every night. Einstein slept 10 hours a night and refused to wear socks. Benjamin Franklin swore by his naked air baths. Actors are also rare, and athletes, come on, very famous for their superstitions, never whistling, never saying, you know, the Scottish play inside a theater. So what quirky habits do you have that you swear by?
I basically write for a living most of the time. And I can't write at a desk anymore. I do my best, most creative writing sitting in a recliner with my feet up and the laptop on my lap.
Interesting. Jessica, you're a writer. Do you have any quirky tips?
Well, I was not going to go that direction, but I was going to say that I can't start my day unless I sweep the entire house.
Oh, man. Do you want to come over?
Will you do mine?
Yeah, no kidding.
Wait. What happens if you don't?
I just can't focus. Crisis. It's distracting. I have to get up and do it before I do anything.
What's going on at your house that it needs a daily sweeping?
Maybe she's got pets.
I have two labs.
Dogs,
man. Oh, that'll do it.
Hector?
I can't recall. I mean, I'm sure we all have quirky habits. I can't recall one because, I mean, I'm sure I have them, but I don't notice them.
You think they're not quirky.
Exactly. That's the whole point. I mean, to the person, you know, whatever others describe as quirky, I mean, the person doesn't really realize they're quirky.
Yeah, I have no behaviors that are aberrational in any way.
How about you, Celeste?
Except lying.
That's really hard to believe.
We want to hear from, I am a walker. I'm like, you know, Charles Dickens was famous for like walking miles. That's me. I can't think. I do my best thinking if I walk like miles. Mm-hmm. Anyhow, we want to hear the quirky habits that work for you. Maybe somebody will get a good idea. So let us know. You can tweet us, as you know, at OST Talk or find us on Facebook. Okay, so earlier this month we had bad news. Two prison inmates killed two guards. They escaped. That made national headlines, especially during the search for them. But here's a happier story. A group of Georgia inmates worked to save an officer who suddenly collapsed on duty. They could have run. He was the one watching over them. They didn't. They called 911 and stayed with him and worked to save his life. And their reward was desserts and pizza in the park. But there was then blowback against that not being enough, so they actually have their sentences shortened now. And the question is, what would you, let's say you were in charge of this prison, what would your reward to them have been?
Nothing additional. I mean, these guys are all, they're not hardcore criminals. They're in for minor offenses. So, I mean, basically what they did, they're coming to prove that the fact that they deserve a second chance. They're basically decent individuals. I mean, they're paying a dues to society or to the criminal system, whatever you want to think. But what they got was enough.
It was good. You thought that was fitting. Jessica?
Yeah.
I totally agree. I mean, I think that they had the option. They could have... Could have gone 100 different ways. They could have left. They could have just left him there. They could have done a bunch of different things, but they chose to do the right thing. And I think that speaks to the rehabilitation side of things that we don't give enough credit to.
Yeah. I mean, we demonize crimes and inmates and all kinds of things like this. And it makes it so like, oh my God, this is so surprising. And reality is this is the humanity that exists in prisons, that exists among inmates, that we just don't recognize. And it's good that we're taking this time to talk about this, even if it is because we think it's the exception that proves the rule.
Yeah, and it was the sheriff's decision to knock time off their sentences and or testify at when they do get sentenced, because some of them haven't even been sentenced yet. I trust his judgment on this. I think that was the right thing.
Speaking of prison, it can be a very, very tough place, both the real ones and the nonfiction ones like Azkaban.
What's the very, very worst thing about prison?
Don't encourage him, Dwight.
The worst thing about prison was the Dementors. They were flying all over the place, and they were scary, and then they come down, and they suck the soul out of your body, and it hurts.
All right, so One crowded prison in Brazil is trying to make it a little easier. Inmates there can shorten their sentences by reading books. 4 days for every book that they read, up to a maximum of 12 books. That's 48 days. The books have to be classified as literature, philosophy, science, or classics. So, do you think this is a good program? Could we replicate this, or would you want to in the United States?
Sure, man. This is a great idea. I mean, like, this is cheap. People can read. We get them out of prison. It's cheaper. They'll learn stuff. It's awesome. The only thing we have to do is we have to make sure they're not just reading Animal Farm over and over like I used to do whenever I had to do a book report.
And that's such a depressing book to
read
over and over.
It's so short, and you know what's going to happen.
That explains a lot of things about you.
Well, it turns out it's about some historical event, but I thought it was just about pigs.
Well, we put more people in prison than any other country in the rich world, so we ought to try this. I mean, instead of training people to be criminals, which is basically what prisons are, you know, an academy for crime, this is a great idea. This is a constructive way to engage the prison population, and it's positive reinforcement. They have tons of time. They could read.
Yeah, I agree with all of
Jessica?
That.
Jessica?
You know, I'm all for reducing prison populations, but I can't get on board with this because I don't think it's going to make them better prepared to have a different lifestyle when they go out. You're not going to be more fit for something after reading Gone with the Wind. You're just not.
Well, yeah, but what about
that's not
literature.
Classics or literature?
Yeah, yeah, that's right.
Some people might classify.
Books can change a life. I disagree with that. I mean, I think it depends what books are available, but books can be very inspiring in addition to taking you out of yourself.
They can read graphic novels.
They could. Those are pretty violent. Okay, if you're just joining us, we're hanging out in the break. Not all of them. We're hanging out in the break room. We have Jessica Szilagyi with us. She's a Savannah-based writer and blogger. Hector Fernandez, professor of world languages and cultures at Georgia State University. Stephen Turkheimer, lawyer and editor for Georgia Poll. And Natalie Pavelski, vice president of Cater Communications. All right. One day we may all be moon men or moon women.
All the moon men want things their way. But we make sure they see the sun. Goodbye.
Moon men. Stephen Hawking says we're doomed and we need to go back to the moon. He says, quote, spreading out may be the only thing that saves us from ourselves. I am convinced humans need to leave Earth. End quote. All right. So instead of questioning Stephen Hawking's judgment, let's just imagine you were actually in charge of this exodus. Who would you take with you and who would you bar from coming?
Only people who believe in the science that's going to get you to the moon need apply.
Interesting. Jessica?
I'm going to leave all the elected officials behind and I'm going to take an exterminator just in case.
All right.
Wait. You mean in case of bugs?
Bugs.
Yes, just in case.
Okay.
In the moon.
Their little tiny helmets, you know, walking around. She's going to crush them.
Look, roaches can survive almost anything.
It's true. Yeah, that's true.
Lawyers and cockroaches. No offense, Stephanie.
Oh, come on now.
I'm married to one. I mean, a lawyer, not a cockroach.
He's one. I'll take students from my last 2 years and study abroad trips.
Oh, that's nice.
Because they behave really maturely and they can deal well with a group situation, unlike a lot of people. And I would leave out millionaires. They're really high maintenance and they don't do well collectively.
Wow. You would leave out millionaires. Wouldn't you think that they would be like most likely to succeed, maybe?
No, because a new colony on the moon is not going to be based, hopefully, on capitalism. I mean, it wouldn't work that way.
And this moon rocks are the only currency. Yeah, I hear you. So I would just bring no basketball players because, thank you for asking. I, as a relatively short person who I just prefer to think that I'm just dedicated to the earth, can't really jump that high, right? I would like to have the opportunity to play basketball on the moon. And it would just be defeat the purpose if everyone else could still jump higher than me. That's my entire thought process.
But if you're on the moon, everyone would still, I mean...
Well, we'd all be jumping high. But I'm saying I would assume that the people that were good at jumping on the Earth would jump even higher.
Yes,
and I don't want
I agree
them.
With that.
Thank you. It's science.
I don't think that's science.
Pretty sure. I Googled it before I came on.
Yeah. We don't have any scientists with us, but if you are a scientist and want to weigh in, you can reach us on Twitter at OST. I'm a little lost for words. It doesn't happen to me often,
Stephen. You're welcome.
But, or you can find us on Facebook. All right. Did any of you ever run for office in high school or hold office?
Yes.
I was class president. I was Yeah.
Natalie?
I was just, you know, your basic student council representative.
Okay. Jessica?
I did not.
Well, considering your attitude toward elected officials, I'm not surprised.
Yeah, that explains it.
Stephen?
I was some sort of designee or... Oh, actually, no, I was a state senator, a Georgia state senator. I totally forgot about it.
Oh, in high school?
Oh, no, in college. Sorry, I wasn't that far ahead.
All right. Only one of you, it sounds like, was actually student body president.
But I could never be school president. Think of the work. Think of the responsibility. Think of the power.
Okay, three students in New Hampshire stuffed ballot boxes to help their friend get elected student body president. They were expelled just before graduation. And do we think, A, did the punishment fit the crime? And also, could it be this was just teenage high spirits, just hijinks, or is this a serious problem?
Well, this was at Phillips Exeter, which isn't exactly any random high school. It's one of the oldest, most prestigious prep schools in the country, and it has its own rules. But to expel students 2 days before graduation, I don't know about that. I mean, the thing is, we don't know the details, so we don't know whether these students were just being mischievous or whether they were acting in a more sinister way, because the girl they were stuffing ballots against was a woman of color. So you don't know what was really going on here.
Do you know where a student from Phillip Exeter is going to end later on in life?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, if they don't respect the rules of the game at this point, can you imagine what they will do after they go to an Ivy League school and perhaps go to Wall Street and perhaps eventually end in government?
Well, and secondarily, the thing is, they've got enough leftover privilege that they're going to be fine. I don't think we should cry too many tears over former Phillips Exeter Academy. But I will say that the only thing New Hampshire has going for it is democracy.
Really? You're about to insult an entire state?
Yeah. But this is okay. GPB, not NHPB. They're not even going to hear about this, Celeste. Don't even worry about it. Anyway, the point is,
unless you mean people in New Hampshire scream GPB?
I'm tweeting right now.
It's like people in Georgia faking peaches or something. This is their one thing. They have to respect it.
Well, no, because the student who won, now he is, I was really impressed with him because the student who won called the bad behavior to the school's attention. He condemned the action.
He
called for new elections and made it clear that his opponent is his friend. And our real life elected officials could learn from this kid.
Yeah, that's what I do whenever a super PAC
this kid sounds like
ads.
A politician already.
Jessica, you want to weigh in here?
I agree. I think that in this day and age when we're constantly inundated with the headlines about election tampering and voter fraud and whatnot, I think people take it a lot more seriously, despite the fact that this is a prestigious school. So I don't know if I would have expelled them, though.
I would.
Our professor says kick him out. Okay, now let's end our conversation here by talking about coconut oil. We've all heard it's really, really healthy, right?
To be a health expert in the new age, all you have to do is know how to mindlessly recommend using coconut oil for everything. It's like duct tape for your health. Why does everyone love coconut oil so much? Mostly because people subconsciously associate the image of a tropical beach with coconut oil. And people like tropical beaches.
All right, there has been a lot of hype over coconut oil. You can find all kind of products made with it now. But the American Heart Association, after years of clinical studies, says it is not good for you. It actually causes an increase in LDL cholesterol, which is the bad kind. And it is no better, sometimes worse, than butter or beef fat. So how did we get this so wrong?
Don't we get everything wrong and then we get it right and then it's wrong again?
I mean, yeah, wait six months.
Right. This happens all the time, and it's just like anything else. You have to balance it, and if you have high cholesterol, then eat some apples. I mean, it's all about balance. So we're wrong, then we're right, and we're going to be wrong again. So
apple oil
I'm not worried
is very
about
good
it.
For you. Apple oil
apples
is low
lower in, cholesterol, Stefan.
I'm saying apple oil is low in coconut oil.
You're being a smart aleck, and Jessica's not having it.
What? I mean, listen. Okay. It's fine. Go ahead.
No, I'm just laughing. Go ahead.
Oh, it's fine. Yeah, coconut oil. Look, you guys fell for it, man. Like, I'm sorry.
You guys? You didn't use any coconut oil?
No, but even I have some cholesterol issues. So my doctor is telling me I need to eat more fat. I have spent my whole life being low fat. And she says the latest science is that you need to up your fat intake and put down your carb.
Good fats. Like olive oil pretty much is one of the better fats.
Oh, man. I hope they took determined.
Olive oil is great. I'll defend olive oil. I grew up surrounded by coconuts. I mean, you see a coconut inside, it doesn't take much to figure that can't be good for you. I mean, it's really greasy.
Have you seen an olive on the inside?
No, I don't care. Olives are great. They're dry.
Oh, man.
Dry.
I'm so hopeful.
And look at all the people around the Mediterranean. They're doing great. Their diet is excellent.
Well, not their economies, but I mean, well, I see your point.
Who cares about the economy?
I think it makes, if you want to purchase coconut oil, you're going to need some bucks. But it might get cheaper soon.
The whole point is we don't want to purchase coconut oil.
Well, I just learned that, Celeste. This is all new to me. I can't just change my habits just willy-nilly all the time.
Okay. So how many, you guys are going to stop eating coconut oil or you don't care?
I never started.
I never started.
Jessica, did you eat any coconut oil? No, you just ate apples.
No, I eat both, but I'm not going to I'm not giving up on the coconut oil.
Oh, good for you, man. Stay strong. Science is
thank
dumb.
Thank you.
Well, I mean, has there been other foods that you guys have fallen for as being healthy only to find out later that they weren't?
Turns out hot dogs aren't good for you.
Sugar.
But you never thought sugar was healthy.
No, at some point I did. I'm sure I did.
I thought it was, hey, it comes from sugar cane, which is a vegetable, or beets, which is another vegetable. How could it be bad?
That's a good point.
It tastes so good. I mean, how could it be bad when you're like 10?
That's excellent, right?
We don't ask for nutritional advice from 10-year-olds, or we'd all be eating marshmallows. All right, this is prime territory for our listeners to weigh in. You know how to reach us. What?
Sorry, I thought that might have been, never mind, go ahead. I thought that was a joke about fat. Go ahead, you're good.
Weigh in.
Oh, God. The number is 404-500-9457. That's my reaction to the break room this week. You can reach us on Twitter. It's at OST Talk, or find us on Facebook. I want to say thanks to all my guests. We had Hector Fernandez of Georgia State, Jessica Szilagyi, writer and blogger in Savannah, Stephen Turkheimer of Georgia Poll, and Natalie Pavelski of Cater Communications. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Love you guys.
Thank
Happy
you.
Friday.
Thank you.
Have a great weekend.
But again, you know how to reach us, and we want to hear your thoughts as well. So be sure to get in contact with us for today and for the week. That is On Second Thought from GPB News. I'm Celeste Headley. Have a great, healthy weekend.